enjoyed the talk very much. I have a question. When you're talking, I'll give you a little anecdote. I've noticed this as I get older, which is occurring with greater speed.
I have noticed that too.
When
I, not about you, so.
That's right. When I go to a diner, for example, with my kids, I look at this huge menu, which I find almost painful. And I instinctively revert to getting the same thing I've always gotten all the time, whereas they're thumbing through and looking at different things and trying and doing. So to my question.
You're not going to like the answer.
When you're talking about humans, we are a very odd species in that we've outlived our natural biological limitations. So we are really a longitudinal species, very different type of beast. We weren't on the design plan to go 60, 70, 80 years. It's tough. It's a difficult thing. But we have lots of things that show this biologically. So when you're talking about humans, have you considered age factors?
Yeah,
difficult as it is. I'm not what my 18-year-old or 20-year-old kid is.
So let me add one caveat to what you said. I mean, I basically agree with what you said. We were not, all of us, meant to live to be 70 years old. Let me say that a different way. Let me say that correctly as a scientist. It's a very recent event that the survivor curves for our species are pretty much flat until you get to about 60 in the West, and then people start croaking off. The survivor curve, traditionally, most people are dying as infants. But it's important to remember that the right-hand edge of that curve, how old the oldest people live to be, that number has actually not changed much in the last 200-300 years. What's changed is the fraction of people that get up there. Now, but that's kind of not that important, but it's maybe shapes the discussion a tiny bit. Let me first tell you why it's so hard for us at the diner. And then I'll tell you a study we've done that's kind of related to that. We know that the features of human decision-making change dramatically across the lifespan. People, for example, when they're young, tolerate what we call ambiguity. Those are unknown probabilities. Would you like to reach into this urn and pull out a green ball? If you pull out a green ball, I'll give you $100. I won't tell you how many green balls are in here. It costs $10 for a play. Any reasonable person in their 40s or beyond says, are you out of your mind? And 10, 15-year-olds like that game. It's like, oh, yeah, sure. But you don't know how many green balls are in there. Yeah, I know, but it's $100. You only have to pay 10. I don't know. I'll figure it out. So we find that younger humans seem to tolerate ambiguity. On the other hand, it's actually the case that only when you get really old does your attitude toward risk change. There's this sort of widespread view that adolescents are risk-seeking. That's actually not technically true. They like ambiguity, but they're kind of the same risk attitudes as 20-year-olds. But then as we get older, we become really, really risk-averse, which is kind of interesting. Now, we actually think that's a pretty evolutionarily interesting story. Young animals don't actually know very much about their environment because they haven't sampled it much. And so our view is that they tolerate unknown situations because it allows them to gather information. Information which you can then think of them as annealing or solidifying over the course of their lifetime. And once they've accomplished all of that, we think they use that in a very fixed strategy that's lower cost. And we have lots of evidence that as people age, this is the part you're not going to like, their cognitive costs go up. The speed of calculation goes down, long-term memory goes down, short-term memory goes down, digit span goes down. It's truly horrible. To be a neurobiologist and look at these things is only a bad experience. But, you know, my graduate students are like, well, I have 10 years. And I'm like, you have 10 years. What does that mean about me? So we think all that dovetails pretty well, though. There may be an interesting evolutionary story there about the need to gather information early in life, the willingness to commit more neural resources early. Once you've sampled an environment, now this goes to the question of stationarity a little bit. Once you've sampled an environment and know it well, can identify at lower cost the optimal strategy for you, you know, maybe you stick with that. And it does save you costs. And it does have a kind of evolutionary feel to it. Now, I don't want to overdo this because, you know, it's so easy to just to tell just so stories about evolution. But it's not a proof, but it's worth thinking about, that these things all do have a good flavor to them. So I hear you. We are way out of our niche. I'm not arguing that we aren't. We're constantly reshaping our niche, sometimes in ways that are good for us, sometimes in ways that are bad for us. But I think we're probably closer to our niche than we appreciate. That'd be my bias here.
All right, I see some other hands after that. Nope, okay, we're gonna go to the next one. I've got this one in the back.
You should just pitch these things. People snap them out of the air, and that will prove how well evolved we are as primates.